13 might be considered an unlucky number, but for this year's Chattanooga Film Festival, that number fits right in. The 13th Annual Film Festival will be held in person this Thursday through Sunday at Chattanooga Theater Center and online this Friday through Saturday, June 27th. Chris Dorch is the festival's executive director and lead film programmer. Dustin Kramer is the senior features programmer and the virtual events coordinator for the festival. Chris, Dustin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us back.
This is the 13th year.
It's the 13th year. Somehow we've kept this guy going for longer than a decade now. And the city, I think, has been our secret weapon there. It's obviously a beautiful place to hold an event. But yeah, this is somehow our unlucky 13th year. And we're leaning into that in all the ways that we can.
As we would expect you to.
100%. I'm manifesting luck. I'm manifesting lucky. Lucky 13. We're taking it back.
Well, I was born on a Friday the 13th.
Hey, there you
so
go.
So it all comes
that's
together.
That's beautiful.
We may have something special for you at the festival.
Okay, yeah. I'll keep that in mind. Let's talk about some of the world premieres that are going to happen.
Yeah, there's a bunch of great stuff this year, both things that are world premieres and full red carpet events happening for them. A really terrific film called Night After Night. It's kind of one of those things that the less we tell you, the better, but I can say that we really pride ourselves on bringing in programming that kind of straddles the line between a lot of genres. We like it when a story can scratch off a lot of things in that film fan bingo card, and this movie finds its way into sci-fi, into thriller territory and a lot of really cool places. And that entire cast and crew, even more folks than we originally thought, are going to be joining us on the ground for that one. In terms of U.S. premieres, we have something with the lovely title of Don't Forget the Oatmeal that is making its U.S. premiere with us. I don't know how to explain this movie with words, except for to say that it's kind of like if you've seen Poor Things, and I think people know Yorgos Lanthimos' work recently because he's getting a lot more accolades these days. It's kind of like a Yorgos Lanthimos most film, but with martial arts sequences. So it's absolutely just unique and delightful, and we're really, really fortunate that we get to be the first place in the U.S. that shares this.
It's weird and hilarious in all of the right ways. I'd also like to mention First Feature, which is a documentary that's more than 10 years in the making about
another world premiere.
Yeah, absolutely. About something of an outsider artist who started making films in college with his friends, and while making one of his films, his buddies at college started making a documentary about him making this film, and the end product, both the documentary and the end product feature that he made that the documentary is documenting are fascinating examples of what can be done with a little bit of elbow grease and some friends and a lot of free time.
To spiral off of what Dustin's saying, we're seeing such an uptick in people trying to create art with AI these years that these projects that celebrate kind of the human experience of creating art have kind of taken the forefront for us. There's a lot of those kind of stories this year. There's also a great documentary about the making of one of the most maligned films of the 80s, a movie called Megaforce that had Barry Bostwick, best known for Rocky Horror Picture Show, and was immediately forgotten despite the fact that some of us remember it.
And
very
yet
fondly.
Somehow I remember the title.
Exactly.
I wasn't sure until you said Barry Bostwick. It's not a film I recall seeing, but I recall hearing about.
Yeah. Well, you know, a really terrific filmmaker named Bob Lindemeyer made a documentary because he thought he was the only person in the world that loved this movie. And throughout the course of trying to just find a few of these crazy vehicles from the movie and restore them, he met Barry and he started this process of documenting something that he thought he was this misfit, the only person that loved. And it winds up being a story about both loving the things that you love no matter what the world tells you, and also just kind of following your own Quixote-esque dreams to places. Like, there's a point in this movie where he and Barry Bostwick are riding fantasy action sci-fi vehicles and just cavorting. And if you can't experience dopamine from this moment in cinema, then I don't have anything for you,
Rick. Primo cavorting, let me just say. Primo. It is the top level cavorting. Yes.
Top tier.
Talk about a few more of the cult films that are coming to the table.
Yeah, you know, for us, it's always about striking a balance between the new voices that we're discovering and hopefully, you know, introducing to new people and things that we ourselves as film buffs love. And we've always, from the very beginning, and especially since we've started doing our monthly Double Secret Cinema Society, but there's a lot more deep cuts in the mix. And for us, celebrating the birthday of movies is something we try to do every year, especially projects that mean a lot to us. This year, we're getting to do two anniversaries that mean the world to us. One is the 40th anniversary of an animated film from 1981, the year of my birth, good God, called Heavy Metal. Heavy Metal is both terrific because it's an amazing piece of completely handmade animation, but it also boasts this just time capsule of an iconic 80s soundtrack. Also maybe the only record in the world where you can hear Grand Funk Railroad and Devo like two moves from each other, but really fantastic.
Peanut butter and chocolate.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, it's our 13th year, and with it being our 13th year, it's also the 45th anniversary of Friday the 13th Part 6, which is
I think you got those swapped, but yes, we're on the right track.
Oh, I did swap the anniversaries.
45 for heavy metal, 40 for...
I'm glad that one of us knows numbers and remembers
them. Go ahead, so sorry.
I don't. But yeah, Friday the 13th is one that we love. Part 6, I think for fans, is especially fun because it's the one where Paramount finally admitted to themselves that the campers weren't the reasons why people were watching these movies. That it's really, Jason is the James Bond here. They even give him this iconic kind of James Bond intro.
Absolutely. And
we brought in a filmmaker we absolutely love, Joe Lynch, who's made movies from Netflix all over the place.
Hatchet films, things like that.
Yeah.
Long Term 2.
Just a great dude. And he actually did the commentary track as a film historian on this. So he's coming along with some very top secret things that we can't tell you about to make that 45th or 40th.
Let's just say, if you're a fan of the Friday the 13th franchise as a whole, there's more going on in this screening than just what's going on with Jason Lives. So you might want to be there for that.
Right. And also, you know, making sure that we have things like traditional art house, but at the same time, elevating these just crowd-pleasing cult classics to the same platform is really a big part of what we do every year.
Talk more about the works by local and regional filmmakers for the festival.
One of the things from day one that we've always done is make sure that as big as we got or as many films from other countries or other places that we showcased, that there was always an element of local love here. And that created a block that we jokingly started calling CFF Salute Your Shorts. And that name stuck. And here we are 13 years later with an incredible block of regional film and also student films. What's really crazy is the amount of incredible work we're seeing from people that are either still in school or just out of school. And I should also shout out both UTC here and Chat State, because we're seeing an incredible influx of volunteers and people starting to get involved with our little community from those places too. So it honestly just makes us feel very good about kind of the legs that local creativity is standing on. And at a time when we're trying to put AI data centers down here in downtown Chattanooga, I want these people to have more of a coalition and know what their actual resources are.
We're big fans of human beings creating art. We had mentioned this last year. Last year was the first year where we had officially established a ban on all films that had any amount of generative AI used in production, because we believe in human created art. I want the machines to wash my dishes and wash my clothes. I want the humans to make the art.
I'm willing to be their friend if they want to hang out.
Yeah,
but
totally,
you know,
absolutely.
I just don't want them to make my movies.
Yeah, don't make my movies.
Yeah.
That's something that's very important to us. And we want local filmmakers, national filmmakers, international filmmakers to know that if they care about those things, that they have home at CFF.
Talk more about where this is unfolding in person. There is, once again, a virtual component.
Yeah, we understand certainly the state of the world and that gas is currently $79 a gallon or something like that. And that for some people, whether you're out of state or even in the city, you might not have the opportunity to travel. So one of the things since 2020 we've really tried to embrace every year is audience accessibility and making sure we had options for people both on the ground and wherever they were in the U.S. So along those lines, we call our festival a hybrid event now. Our opening weekend, the first 4 days are always on the ground. And those first 4 days kind of take you on a guided tour. There's the possibility, if you don't need to use the restroom or eat that often, to actually watch everything that we show on the ground. And we kind of lead you on a tour of what we think
is... As they say, we did the math.
Yeah, we did indeed. Oh, I guess we maybe gave them a few minutes less for the meal breaks than we should have.
Sure, that's fine.
We should have looked at OSHA standards, but it gives us an opportunity to really curate that opening weekend and kind of control what people are watching and then toss them into a playground where they can really choose their own adventure with so much great stuff from all over.
And for people who want to learn all about it, where can they go online?
You can find us at chatfilmfest.org. Right now, you'll find our schedule for both in-person and virtual screenings. You'll find a film guide where you can get a bit more context on every movie we're showing and every event we're doing this year. There is a ton.
And if you're interested in supporting us year-round and getting some content from us year-round, we do have a Patreon, and you can just search Patreon for Chattanooga Film Festival. It's called the Double Secret Cinema Society.
It gives us an excuse to bring some year-round programming to folks, and with it being virtual, it's finally allowed us as a nonprofit to not have any overhead when we try to plan screenings.
All right, Chris, Dustin, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Catch all our conversations on Scenic Routes at our website, wutc.org, on the WUTC app, and wherever you get your podcasts.